Chapter 8. The Laborer is Worthy of His Hire. Lord, how shall I best serve and glorify thy name in the earth? How shall I conduct my life to make thy name a praise in the earth, and lead others to love, serve, and honor thee? Let me only desire and choose thy will. Let the words and example of my Redeemer be the light and strength of my heart. While I follow and trust in him, he will not leave me to perish. He shall be my crown of rejoicing. God has settled the question of wages. If women do the work that is not the most agreeable to many of those who labor in word and doctrine, and if their works testify that they are accomplishing a work that has been manifestly neglected, should not such labor be looked upon as being as rich in results as the work of the ordained ministers? Should it not command the hire of the laborer? This question is not for men to settle. The Lord has settled it. You are to do your duty to the women who labor in the gospel, whose work testifies that they are essential to carrying the truth into families. Their work is just the work that must be done and should be encouraged. In many respects, a woman can impart knowledge to her sisters that a man cannot. The cause would suffer great loss without this kind of labor by women. Again and again, the Lord has shown me that women teachers are just as greatly needed to do the work to which He has appointed them as are men. Women to receive wages for their work. There are ministers' wives, Sisters Starr, Haskell, Wilson, and Robinson, who have been devoted, earnest, whole-souled workers, giving Bible readings and praying with families, helping along by personal efforts just as successfully as their husbands. These women give their whole time and are told that they receive nothing for their labors because their husbands receive wages. I tell them to go forward, and all such decisions will be revised. The Word says, "The laborer is worthy of his hire." Luke 10, verse 7. When any such decision as this is made, I will, in the name of the Lord, protest. I will feel it my duty to create a fund from my tithe money to pay these women who are accomplishing just as essential work as the ministers are doing. And this tithe I will reserve for work in the same line as that of the ministers, hunting for souls, fishing for souls. I know that the faithful women should be paid wages, as it is considered proportionate to the pay received by ministers. They carry the burden of souls and should not be treated unjustly. These sisters are giving their time to educating those newly come to the faith and hire their own work done and pay those who work for them. All these things must be adjusted and set in order, and justice be done to all. Proofreaders in the office receive their wages. Those who are working at housework receive their wages, $2.50 and $3 a week. This I have had to pay, and others have to pay. But ministers' wives, who carry a tremendous responsibility, devoting their entire time, have nothing for their labor. Letter to Captain Henry Norman. Women should receive suitable pay for their work. My brother in Christ Jesus, I feel very grateful to my Heavenly Father, who has answered our prayers in His own time and His own way. Often in our experience, we have been brought into very strait places, but the Lord has answered our petitions and has greatly blessed us. Again and again, we have presented our case before the Lord, wrestling as did Jacob before he met his brother Esau. Some months ago, the assurance was given me to call upon our brethren in America for help. The Lord said, "Continue to pray, continue to ask. I will move upon hearts, and means will come in the way I have appointed." Since receiving this communication from the Lord, I have felt no distrust. I have awakened in the night season with these words upon my lips: "The gold and silver is the Lord's, and He will not fail us in our emergency." How wonderful is the way of our Lord! It is His glory to impart to us the things we most need. In the night season, I have seen the arm of omnipotence outstretched to guide us and lead us onward and still onward. "Go forward," the Lord said. "I understand the whole case, and I will send you help. Continue to pray. Have faith in me. It is for my name's glory that you ask, and you shall receive. I will be honored before those who are watching critically for your financial failure. They shall see the truth triumph gloriously. And whatsoever ye ask in my name believing, ye shall receive. I have often been instructed in cases of perplexity as to the path of duty. Where there is a sincere desire to do the will of God, apart from all selfish, personal consideration, the Lord will hear and answer prayer. If we rely upon the promises God has given in His Word, we may, with assurance, go forward in spite of discouraging appearances. The Lord will raise us up helpers in men, whom He will move upon by His Spirit to impart to us in our necessity. Every lawful scheme for advancing the work of saving perishing souls will be a success. We are to see and acknowledge the working of God's special providence. The Lord authorizes us to pray, declaring that He will hear the prayers of those who trust, not in their finite wisdom, but in His infinite power. He will be honored by those who draw nigh to Him, who faithfully do His service. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusted in Thee. The Lord has made you a steward of means. I thank my Heavenly Father for impressing you to identify your interests with the work of advancing His kingdom in our world. The safest rule of action is to abide closely by God's Word. The Christian is given the invitation to carry his burdens to God in prayer, and to fasten himself closely to Christ by the cords of living faith. I have a request to make of you, my brother in Christ Jesus. Will you appropriate a certain sum to create a fund for the education of workers to give Bible readings in families after camp meetings have closed? During this time, we can also hold meetings for the children on Sabbath and Sunday afternoons. This rule we have followed in our camp meetings here. There was not one Sabbath keeper among the citizens of Newcastle when the tent was pitched there. Since then, thousands have had an opportunity to hear the truth, and we know that many of them heard it gladly. They seemed to be hungry for the truth. During the Newcastle camp meeting, children's meetings were appointed. The best teachers were appointed, and during the week, from 100 to 120 children came to the meetings each day. These were given precious lessons on the love of Christ and His willingness to save all who would come to Him. Between 300 and 400 children came out to the meetings held on Sabbath and Sunday afternoons. The children behaved well, and when they returned to their homes, they told their parents about the lessons they had learned. Some of these parents have received the truth. Tent meetings have been continued in Newcastle since the camp meeting closed, and 35 have been converted and baptized. Many more are interested. Wonderful conversions have been witnessed among men who had not attended a religious meeting for years before coming to the tent. Smokers and liquor drinkers have seen themselves in the gospel mirror as transgressors of the law, and have, in repentance, received Christ as their personal Savior. The ministers are astonished, for they see those who were smokers and beer drinkers no longer smoking and drinking, but changed and converted. This to them seems like a miracle. A house has been hired for the ministers and their wives and those whom they are educating to give Bible readings from house to house. The people are invited to ask their friends and neighbors to these meetings, and opportunity is given for them to ask questions on the lessons given. These are occasions of deep interest. I have great confidence in this method of labor. The workers who are hunting and fishing for the souls of men and women labor hard from morning till night. Often, their appointments are not over till 10 o'clock. Work has now been begun in Wall's End, a suburb of Newcastle, 10 miles from Newcastle, and in Maitland, a town 20 miles from Newcastle. This is a large field, and we shall employ workers who will give their whole time to the work. Elder Haskell and his wife are now laboring in Newcastle. They have tact and skill, and teach the truth both in public and from house to house. There will be other ministers there besides Elder Haskell and the Bible readers. No less than 12 workers are needed in this place, for it is a large field. In the past, I have appropriated means to sustain this kind of work, but my fund is now exhausted, for in this field, the calls have been continual. Missionary work has been done in many cities. The ministers' wives join their husbands in this work and accomplish that which their husbands could not possibly do. In order to do the work, these sisters have to hire someone to do their housekeeping. It takes the very best talent to do this class of missionary work, and the women who do it should receive a suitable amount for their work. But because of the dearth of means, our sisters have received very little pay. Yet, they have faithfully worked on, without any definite provision being made for them. Less qualified workers, who are receiving instruction by precept and example, are paid £1 a week, out of which they pay their board. But as yet, the ministers' wives have been paid nothing. I wish to create a fund for the payment of these devoted women, who are the most useful workers in giving Bible readings. I am also led to say that we must educate more workers to give Bible readings. I come right to the point. Will you consent to make me your steward, entrusting me with a certain amount to be invested in educating and sustaining workers, and also in helping to erect the humble meeting houses we have to build? I have invested means in every house of worship, save one which has been built by our people in Australia. I think I have made the case plain. If you desire, I will send you a half-yearly statement of how your money has been invested. I have been determined to advance the work here, and to do this, I borrowed £1,000 from Africa. A few months ago, this loan fell due, but it has been extended for 1 year at 4.5%. I have also borrowed money from America at 5% and 6%. I am not pressed to pay this money, but when it is called for, it must be paid. Those who lent it to me felt that it would be safer in my possession than in the bank, but now, some of them are in straitened circumstances. One or two are widows, and they must have their money sooner or later. I tell you this that you may know why I ask you to help me to raise this fund to keep workers in the field. When spouses work together, both should receive remuneration. Again and again, I have repeated the instruction the Lord has given me concerning the opening of new fields, that our large cities might hear the truths of the third angel's message. The printed page cannot accomplish alone the work that the living minister can do. He can explain the scriptures to the people, praying with them and appealing to them, and making effective the truths of the Bible. Not merely one or two men are called to do this work, but many men and women who have ability to preach and teach the word. Let us send forth men and women to labor in faith and consecration for the giving of this last message of mercy to the world. When it is possible, let the minister and his wife go forth together. The wife can often labor by the side of her husband, accomplishing a noble work. She can visit the homes of the people and help the women in these families in a way that her husband cannot. Elder Haskell and his wife have united their labors in the California Conference. Conditions here demanded the capabilities of both. Let none question the right of Sister Haskell to receive remuneration for her work. Dr. Kress and his wife are likewise capable of uniting in missionary effort. None would question the right of Sister Kress to receive a salary. Laboring thus, Brother and Sister Kress can accomplish more than if they labored separately. Injustice done in not paying women for faithful work. The ministers are paid for their work, and this is well. And if the Lord gives the wife, as well as the husband, the burden of labor, and if she devotes her time and her strength to visiting from family to family, opening the scriptures to them, although the hands of ordination have not been laid upon her, she is accomplishing a work that is in the line of ministry. Should her labors be counted as naught, and her husband's salary be no more than that of the servant of God, whose wife does not give herself to the work, but remains at home to care for her family? While I was in America, I was given light upon this subject. I was instructed that there are matters that need to be considered. Injustice has been done to women who labor just as devotedly as their husbands, and who are recognized by God as being as necessary to the work of ministry as their husbands. The method of paying men laborers, and not their wives, is a plan not after the Lord's order. Injustice is thus done. A mistake is made. The Lord does not favor this plan. This arrangement, if carried out in our conference, is liable to discourage our sisters from qualifying themselves for the work they should engage in. A mistake is made when the burden of the work is left entirely upon the ministers. This plan was certainly arranged without the mind of God. Some women are now teaching young women to work successfully as visitors and Bible readers. Women who work in the cause of God should be given wages proportionate to the time they give to the work. God is a God of justice, And if the ministers receive a salary for their work, their wives, who devote themselves just as interestedly to the work as laborers together with God, should be paid in addition to the wages their husbands receive, notwithstanding that they may not ask this. As the devoted minister and his wife engage in the work, they should be paid wages proportionate to the wages of two distinct workers, that they may have means to use as they shall see fit in the cause of God. The Lord has put His Spirit upon them both. If the husband should die and leave his wife, she is fitted to continue her work in the cause of God and receive wages for the labor she performs. Let none feel that women should not receive just wages. Select women who will act an earnest part. The Lord will use intelligent women in the work of teaching. And let none feel that these women, who understand the word and who have ability to teach, should not receive remuneration for their labors. They should be paid as verily as are their husbands. There is a great work for women to do in the cause of present truth. Through the exercise of womanly tact and a wise use of their knowledge of Bible truth, they can remove difficulties that our brethren cannot meet. We need women workers to labor in connection with their husbands and should encourage those who wish to engage in this line of missionary effort. Proper compensation for work of women. If a woman is appointed by the Lord to do a certain work, her work should be estimated according to its value. Some may think it good policy to allow persons to devote their time and labor to the work without compensation. But God does not sanction such arrangements. When self-denial is required because of a dearth of means, the burden is not to rest wholly upon a few persons. Let all unite in the sacrifice. Sacrificing not to be limited to faithful women. A great work is to be done in our world, and every talent is to be used in accordance with righteous principles. If a woman is appointed by the Lord to do a certain work, her work is to be estimated according to its value. Every laborer is to receive his or her just due. Wages to be paid to women doing gospel work. I was solicited to visit Melbourne before the tent would have to be taken down, but on account of the severe heat, they dared not make the request too urgent. Elder Robinson thought my testimony must be given, as it was greatly needed. He and his wife were left to bear the responsibility of the work, giving Bible readings, conducting the mission, and training several young men and women as workers. The work has rested heavily upon them. Sister Robinson has hired a girl to do her housework and is doing work every way as taxing as that of a minister. The women workers have not received pay, but this will be changed in due time. The cause is now hemmed in for want of means. Wages from tithe to be determined by situation. Women, as well as men, are needed in the work that must be done. Those women who give themselves to the service of the Lord, who labor for the salvation of others by doing house-to-house work, which is as taxing as, and more taxing than standing before a congregation, should receive payment for their labor. If a man is worthy of his hire, so also is a woman. God has entrusted talents to His servants, and He expects them to see, understand, that mistakes can be made. But make no mistake in neglecting to correct the error of giving ministers less than they should receive. When you see persons in necessity who have been placed in positions of trust, let God move upon your heart to set things right. The tithe should go to those who labor in word and doctrine, be they men or women.